For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 71. In the middle of your Bible, the 71st division of the Psalms. Thank you, girls, for those songs. Amen. You don't have to be pregnant or have a baby that's in the nursery to sing in that quartet. But it helps, I guess. But anyway, God bless these girls. Appreciate the song. And God bless you, Liz and Cassie and Hallie. What a blessing. Thank you, choir, for those good songs today. Psalm 71. And we do welcome you if you're visiting today. I hope that you'll take time to fill out one of those visitor cards in the back of the pew there. It says welcome, and just leave it with an usher or leave it in the pew. We'll find it a little bit later. We're glad to have all of you here. And I hope you received a little gift bag for coming. If you didn't, then see us after the service. We do have a gift for you that are visiting. And look forward to hearing Pastor Grant preach tonight. I hope that you'll be here for that at 6:30. And it's going to be a great day. Psalm 71, it's already been a great day. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, Psalm 71:1. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and thou art my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. And then over in verse 9, the psalmist says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And then in verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Now, also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Our Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon the reading and preaching of your word today in the invitation time. Thank you for, Lord, how the table's been set. Now I pray, Spirit of God, you'll do a work in every heart in Christ's name. Amen. Someone called this the old man psalm. Someone called this the elderly psalm, the psalm of the elderly, the psalm of the older. And you say, well, preacher, I don't identify with being in that space. Well, you don't, maybe right now, but someday you will. And this will help you for those of you that anticipate being there someday. You're not there now, and you will be someday. I read about a couple of guys, one elderly man playing golf with a 20-year-old man, and they were out there, and they came to this particular green, and they were getting ready to drive, to tee off, and it kind of dogleg back. It was a long hole, and there was a clump of trees there. And the elderly man said to the younger man, he said, you know, when I was your age, he said, I just drove over top of those trees. I just did the tee shot right over the trees. And that young man just wanted to flex his muscles a little bit. So he teed up there and hit and drove right into the trees. Couldn't clear him. He hit another one, hit another one, hit another one, hit another one. And finally the old man said, well, you know, you could hit it in two if you want to, but that's the way we always did it. And so the old fella got back up and he drove straight down the fairway right down into the corner. The young man said, well, why didn't you drive over the trees? He said, well, I didn't tell you those trees were 6 foot tall when I was your age. Amen. And, you know. So there are things that your elders don't always tell you, you know. And, you know, we walked uphill both ways, you know. Catch the school bus. and or we walked to school both ways. And, you know, we didn't get dirt floors till I was 14. I mean, there's always those things, you know, that that things were always. But the Psalm of the Elder, I thought about a title for this message. I thought I might call it, What Makes the Golden Years Golden? What makes the golden years golden? And so I thought I'd share a few thoughts with you today. Obviously, the writer of this psalm is an older man, or an older, older man. And if you have a study Bible, it probably says something for this along this line. It's a prayer for help in old age, a prayer for help. In other words, whoever wrote this had prayed before. Whoever wrote this had some experience with God. Whoever wrote this had confidence in the Lord. Whoever wrote this psalm had great faith in God, and he was asking God to continue that in his old age. The golden years. Now, where do they begin? Well, that's up to for debate. Where the old years begin. But I want you to notice a few things in this psalm today, and I think it'll help us as we think about what makes the golden years golden. I mean, is it the free perks that you get? Is it the 10% discount at McDonald's? By the way, all the McDonald's don't give you a golden years discount on your coffee. Now, they should. But they don't. And used to be, I was offended when they offer me the old age discount. Now I'm offended when they don't. You know, can you do a little better than that? You know, I'm an old man. Can you do a little better than that on that? Can you deliver that? Can you install that? You know, I mean, there are perks that go with being old. You know, people open the door for you. Waitresses call you sweetie and honey, you know, and your wife laughs at you, you know. But whoever wrote this had enjoyed, first of all, I want you to notice this, whoever wrote this had enjoyed a lifetime of blessings. I think of what the psalmist wrote. David wrote this part. He said in Psalm 37, verse 25, he said, I have been young and now I'm old. He said, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, I have been young, now I'm old. And he said, I just want to tell you that God has been faithful. Someone wrote this, the finger of God that points your way is connected to the hand of God that supplies your every need. And I want you to know, young people, you may be concerned and worry about the future, and I guess there are stages of worry in every stage of life, every chapter of life, but when you get to your future, you'll find that God's already there waiting on you. And he has a plan for your life, Jeremiah 29:10. God has a plan, and so whoever wrote this had seen and known a lifetime of blessings. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, let no man despise thy youth or thy youthfulness, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and love and spirit. He said, be an example as a young person. And then as you be an example as a young person, you'll be an example automatically as you continue that in your older years. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. He said, while your mind is clear, while your eyes are good, while your back is still strong, while you can still climb a ladder. I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing yesterday evening. And I was mixing this pool chlorine stuff you pour in your pool, half and half with a gallon of water. I'll tell you, that's stout stuff, you know. You put that in your garden sprayer, and I was trying to clean my gutters and fascia and just and it was a real windy day. You don't want to do that on a windy day. I did have glasses on, and when I went to bed last night, this left eye was about half closed, and my lungs were burning, but I felt good about it. I felt like I'd accomplished something, you know. Cindy got home from the shower, and I said, "Honey, I'm going to lay down here. Just pour this water into this eye, right? Just flush it out. Amen." So there, you know, there are things that you get younger people to do, you know. And he said, "Be an example of the believers." He said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth." He said, "While you can." Well, you can still do it. He said there's going to be a day, Solomon said, he said there's going to be a day when a mosquito or the birds chirping are going to keep you awake. He said you're going to hear insects, they're going to keep you awake. You're not going to be able to sleep 8 hours anymore. You're going to be afraid of heights. He said your grinders are going to cease. Your teeth are going to fail you. Your eyes are going to fail you. This is an encouraging message, isn't it? But the writer of this psalm is not complaining. He's praising God for a lifetime of blessings. I want you to notice what he says. Look in verse 5. He said, "For thou art my hope, O Lord. Thou art my trust from my youth." May it begin in youth. Not only that, but he said this in verse 6, "By thee have I been holding up from the womb." He recognizes that life begins at conception. Life begins in the womb. And he says, "Lord, thou art he." You're the one that took me out of my mother's bowels. You took me from the womb of my mother. He said, "God, you've been good from before I was born." Jeremiah said, you've ordained me a prophet for the nations. You've had a plan for my life, even in the womb. And God, you had your hand on me when I was born. And you had your hand on my mother's hands after I was born. He said, "My praise shall be continually of thee." And he said in verse 7, whoever wrote this said, "I'm as a wonder unto many." And you know what? All of us are trophies of the grace of God. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we're trophies of grace. And we're a wonder unto many. "But thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, with thy honor all the day." This is one writing. And he's not complaining. He's crying out and saying, "Oh God, you've been good," like the girls sang today. A lifetime of blessings. May I encourage you to seize every chapter and every golden moment of life? I mean, God has given you every chapter of life. Why should we groan and complain as we go into our golden years? We really shouldn't. America, no one who lives in America should groan and complain. I mean, God's been good to America. God's been good to our nation. God's hand of blessing has been on our nation. And thank God for the salt and light that's in this nation. But the hand of God and the Spirit of God has guided this nation. And God guided, I believe, all the way back to our founding fathers as they wrote the Constitution and gave us three branches of government. And God guided in all of that. And they may not have believed in God personally, but they respected God and honored God. And I'll tell you what, it sizzles me as I see these people marching on the streets of America saying, "Death to America, I am Hamas." Somehow I think that our founding fathers, by the way, that's the cry of an insurrection. It's not what happened on January 6th. And there's a place for people like that. It's called jail or deportation. I don't think our founding fathers had that in mind when they gave us our first amendment. I don't think you ought to be able to burn the flag in America. But these veterans that sit among you today and these Gold Star families that sit among you today, listen, they bled and many died to give these insurrectionists freedom to burn the flag now in our nation. I'll tell you something, this is the greatest, there's a reason that people are trying to get across our border, because this is the greatest nation that's ever been in existence. We're not the apple of God's eye, Israel is. but a lifetime of blessings. He said, my hope, my trust, thou art he. You're my strong refuge. My mouth shall praise thee. And he's seizing every chapter of life, the golden moments of life. If you're a teenager today, enjoy your teen years. Enjoy your teen years. If you have a junior girl, junior boy at home, let them be kids. Let those kindergartners be kindergartners. You know, let them enjoy that. You know, amen. I mean, I still go out and play in the sandbox every once in a while, just for a throwback. You know, I'm just kidding. That chlorine's been messing with me, you know. But anyway, enjoy being a teenager. Live for the Lord. I know you think that parents and pastors and teachers and principals all get together and come up with a set of rules just to make your life miserable. What can we do? What can we do to really make them miserable in their teen years? That's not what we do. It's not what we do at all. It's just that we've lived those years and we don't want to see you make the same dumb mistakes that we made. And so, enjoy being a college student. Enjoy being a college student. Enjoy being a single young man, single young lady. You don't have to sow your wild oats. Live for God. Enjoy this time. Man, I've said this over and over again. You know, if I was a young man out of college, young lady, and I didn't know what God wanted me to do, and there are a lot of options. Man, take a mission trip. Go spend 3 months on the mission field. I mean, you probably won't get to do that down the road when you get married, have children, you know. I'm just talking about gleaning and growing. And I think about young couples and those in their middle ages and just the time having those children around. I remember Buddy Woodrum and Barb Woodrum. They were wonderful Christians, faithful people, both in heaven now. Buddy used to tell this story about Barbara. Of course, they raised 3 sons. And one went to heaven, missionary to China. Mark died in a plane crash a few years ago. And Paul and John, and when all 3 boys were at home, and Barb would say, Buddy, look out there. Said, they've got all that grass. We'll never grow any grass on. They've got that yard wore clear out there. Buddy would say, Barb, there's going to be a day that grass will have plenty of time to grow. Let's enjoy having that bare spot out there right now. Amen. How many of you can identify with that? Yeah. I remember we used to play ball in the Matheny's yard in Pinch. You don't know the Matheny's. But old Carlton Matheny, he used to just, we'd all come up there, we'd play basketball in his driveway, we'd play football in his yard, we'd play baseball in his yard, and we just kept a jar of money because we knocked windows out with baseballs and footballs, and we broke things out in the driveway, and we were all the time. And he'd never complain about that. He said, well, I know where my children are, you know. And, you know, they'll be gone soon enough. I mean, enjoy having a coffee table that's all scuffed up, beat up, you know. I mean, I look around our family room and see stains on the carpet. Those are memories to me of grandchildren, you know. Sometimes I'll say to Cindy, when do you think we might want to get some new furniture? You know? Well, when the kids get big, you know. Enjoy that time. Enjoy your senior years. Enjoy your working years and all of that. It's a lifetime of every chapter of life as we go. God gives grace for that chapter, you know. Remember, there was a day that we thought we'd never end. It'd never end. All we're going to the gym, we're going to the ball field, we're going to school activities. It's never going to end. Now you look back and that was 25 years ago. I'm saying life is a vapor, and seize the golden moments of life. Seize those moments. And so he has enjoyed a lifetime of blessings. And then notice number two, as we think about what makes the golden years golden, he is lamenting. He is giving a lament of the battle. Sometimes we get tired in the battle. And I think that's what the writer's saying here. Look in verse 9. He says, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now notice the battle that he faces. Every stage of life we have battles. Every stage. We all have battles. And God is faithful to us in all of life's battles. But look in verse 10. He says, for mine enemies speak against me. They that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. He's lamenting the battle. He said, first of all, in verse 9, he says, O Lord, when my strength fails, don't cast me aside. And then he mentions about mine enemies in verse 10. Mine enemies speak against me. Isn't it amazing that in old age, his concern is his physical strength, and his concern are the battles around him. You know, those never end. I was just kind of taking note. I probably wouldn't normally do that, but getting ready to preach this sermon today, and I think about three or four guys that came up into the choir were telling me, as they got up into the choir, they were telling me, yeah, man, I overdid it yesterday, or you know, all that kind of thing. And if we're not careful in our golden years, and I do the same thing, I just told you a story about chlorine, all that, we will get consumed with the physical. We all do that. We all do that. We have a golden years trip, and two things we all talk about is our doctor, our medicine, where are we going to eat next? That's three things, you know. And but here he is late in life. He's consumed with the physical. And listen, I'm just accepting. I've tried to seize these golden moments of arthritis. And seriously. I mean, it's not fun, but we might as well seize it. Seize the golden moments of new ways to take your socks off. I mean, the golden moments of life. And consumed old age can come to cause us to major on the physical where our strength is failing. Yes, it is failing. But we can be just as strong in the spirit as ever. And we can take relief factor and everything will be all right. But anyway, number two, he said, mine enemies, you know, you can't move forward without producing friction. And here he is in old age, and he's got enemies that are waiting for him to fail. Your neighbors probably watch you get up and go to church. They think, there they go. They can set their clock by you. There they go. Must be going to Sunday school today. Oh, they're late today. They're just going for preaching. Then they see you come home. Then they see you head back. Oh, there they go, Sunday night. Must be an early choir practice. You know, your neighbors watch you. They watch you on Wednesday night. They see you. And then I remember when I got saved, you probably had this happen. There were friends of yours that were waiting for you to fall and fail. He'll be back. He'll be back. He'll be down at the bar with us. He'll be at the party. He'll be back. And here he's writing, he's saying, in my old age, my enemies are still waiting for me to fail. The devil's waiting for you to fail. And yeah, he laments the battle, but he embraces the battle. He embraces the challenge of old age. He has a perceived fear and he has a real fear. But number three, notice this. Number three, I think what makes the golden years golden? a longing for boldness. He still has a desire. Look in verse 14. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. You can do that at 27. You can do that at 30. You can do that at 45. You can do that at 55. I mean, I will hope continually. I will hope continually. I will yet praise God more and more. I've got a longing. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. And he said in verse 15, he said, I will hope. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation. I know not the numbers there. I don't know what the future holds, but I know this. I'm going to keep hoping and I'm going to keep showing forth the righteousness of God. I mean, he's my foundation, my fortress. He's my faith. I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. I'll go in his strength. Verse 16. I'll make mention of thy righteousness. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Why should I quit now? Lord, you've been good all these years. Why should I think that God, you're going to fail me now? That's the devil's lie, straight out of hell. And when the devil comes to you and says, well, you know, you're not going to be able to make it. Hey, God's always helped you to make it. He's not going to quit now. He's got a longing for boldness. Oh, God, he said, you've taught me from my youth, verse 17. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. He said, there's no quit now. I'm not quitting now. I'll tell you, COVID, we saw in COVID through a virus, many quit. What will we do when real persecution comes? May God give us in our golden years, may God give us in our teen years, in our college years, our career years, our retirement years, may God give us in our golden years and the twilight of life, may God give us a longing for the things of God and a longing for boldness. Number four, I like this. What makes the golden years golden? Leaving something behind. Leaving something behind. I think this writer, this psalmist said it well in verse 19. He said, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. He said, I want to leave something behind. Look in verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, he said, verse 18, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. No time to quit. Thy power to everyone that's to come. O God, help me in my latter years to leave something behind. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 7:6, an end has come. An end is coming to all of us. I'm not talking about leaving behind stuff, but the Savior. Not talking about leaving behind a mess, but a message. Not talking about leaving behind learning, but love. Not just leaving behind education, but edification. Not just leaving behind money, but laying up treasures on the other side. We're leaving behind something. We're leaving behind a legacy, a heritage. May leave a house and a Ford truck. They'll run forever, you know. Might leave behind a few acres. Might leave behind some things. But more important than leaving that behind is leaving behind a legacy, a heritage, a faith in God. A leaving behind, he said, now also, God, help me to leave thy strength and thy power. Help me to show that to the next generation. I think of those that have gone before my generation. I think of my mom and dad who are still with us, watching today, lived these years, saw the Great Depression, saw two world wars, one world war and other wars, lived through those, raised children, worked hard. They've shown us what strength in God and faith in God and power, the power of God can do. Finally, not only leaving something behind. By the way, we're doing a great disservice to the next generation when we belittle and demean the elderly of this generation. When you make fun of grandma and grandpa, I mean, look, we all laugh. I mean, we all laugh with, but we don't teach our children to belittle them. That's what the world does. Oh, your crazy old grandma, you know. Oh, she got these memories. Better listen to those memories. There's a message in those memories. Number five, what makes the golden years golden? A love for the blesser. Verse 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? The writer of this psalm says, I sure do love my Savior. He's been good from when I was inside the womb until I'm about to leave this world. God's been good. Oh God, who's like unto thee? He's got a real love for Jesus who would come, but a real love for the God of the Bible. Verse 20, look at it with me. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Notice his determination. He's got a love for the blesser. He said, I think of Paul who was in prison. He said to the Philippians, he said, your supply, your prayers, your supplication and the supply of the Spirit is going to get me out of here. I'm going to preach again. The writer here says, I'm going to go at it again. I'm determined even in my sore troubles, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But notice not only his determination, look at his drive. Verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. He's looking to increase. What can I do to increase? What can I do for God? What new thing can I do? I read last Sunday about Charles Keene, 84 years old, 87 years old. He said, I've lost my youth, but I have launched a new ministry to print 1 million whole Bibles to people groups that don't have the Bible in their language. He would write something like this. Lord, you'll increase my greatness. Comfort me on every side. His drive, his determination. I'll praise thee with the psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Notice his depth, his depth. There's a deepness about him. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. A love for the blesser. He's determined, he's driving. He has a depth of soul that only God can give. What makes the golden years golden? The blesser. God does. God does. Every chapter of life, every mountain, God's there. Now here's the thing. We heard a lot of singing today about the blood. Who makes that possible? Jesus does. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The scripture says this. It says we have a need to be saved. The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a need. The need is we don't know God. We're sinners. We've been estranged from God because of Adam's sin back in the Garden of Eden. By one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. How can we know the blesser? How can we come to the end of our life and say, whenever that is, we can say, thank God, I can sing of his praises. I'm determined to live for him. I'm looking from the finish line. I want to finish strong. I don't want to go out in a trickle. I want to go out in a gush. Well, the problem is we're sinners. And there's a penalty on our sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But that's not just physical death, but that's a spiritual death, the second death. We'll die and go to hell and miss heaven. But the good news is, he said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a penalty in our sin. We're all sinners. There's a penalty in our sin, but Jesus paid our penalty for us. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. But it says this in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth. God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're sinners. We can't save ourselves. We're on our way to hell. And so God looked down from heaven and said, I'm going to send my only begotten Son to die in their place, and he will be their substitute. He'll live a perfect life from the cradle to the grave. So Jesus paid our sin debt. He paid our penalty. Now, if we'll accept that penalty, we can go to heaven. You've heard about the gift of God. The Bible says the gift of God, the gift of God. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. And if we'll accept God's free gift, we can go to heaven. What is that free gift? It's his dear Son, Jesus. So the Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's what we do. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you'll admit to God you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself, and if you'll confess to God that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you'll believe on him and trust him by faith, you can be saved. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And he lives in heaven at the right hand of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll do that, he'll receive you. All have sinned, yes, but all can be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law or by works, then Christ died in vain. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy he saved us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto him and be ye saved. God said, look unto me, be ye saved, for I'm God. There's none else. Will you do that today?